Last week's parsha ends with a very interesting mitzvah. The Kodesh Baruch Hu speaks to Moshe and to Aaron, and he tells them, "Al tachrisu ashevet mishpachais ha-kahas imitei chalavim." There's a real danger that the family of Kahas is going to disappear from the Levim. Make sure that they're careful. V'zayis asu lahem v'chayu v'loy yamusu. This is what you should do so that they should live and they shouldn't die. Bigishtam el kodesh hakadoshim. You see, it was the family of Kahas who was responsible for carrying the kelim, specifically the Aron. And there's a danger when you're carrying the Aron because of the level of kedusha that's there. Warn them and tell them that they have to be careful when they're bringing that Aron, and they have to be careful not to see things that they're not supposed to see and not to touch things that they're not supposed to touch. Make them the gedarim. Make sure that they are careful with it. Our parsha this week begins with the work that the other two families of the Levim had to do, the families of Gershon, the families of Merari. They carry the Krushim, they carry the Urias. It's interesting that they did get wagons to put their things on, and the family of Kahas did not because of the Kedusha of what they were carrying. And the Levim are responsible that when the Machane is leaving, when we're moving to a new place, only the Levim are the ones that take it down. And when we come to a new place and we're settling, it's only the Levim that bring it back up. And we heard at the beginning of last week's Parsha as well that even when they were settled in their Machane, it was the Levim who have to rest around the Mishkan so that there shouldn't be a Ketzef al Adas B'nei Yisrael, there shouldn't be anger on B'nei Yisrael. It's the Levim who have to protect the Mishkan, but they're not really even protecting the Mishkan from the Yidden. They're protecting the Yidden that they shouldn't come too close to the Mishkan, because if they do, they might die. And they got this commandment. It's your job to do this. It's only your job to carry the Mishkan. It's only your job to bring the Kelim in and to put them in. And be very careful when you do it. And there's a couple of things that we can learn from this. In Parshas Korach, there is going to be a pirtza, there's going to be a breach here, when members of Klal Yisrael, other members of Klal Yisrael, are not Levim, who are going to say, it's not fair, we want to do it too. We also want the opportunity to bring Ketairos. We also want the responsibility to do the Avodah. And the way that Moshe Rabbeinu was going to prove to them that really when HaKadosh Baruch Hu says this is the Levim, this is the Kohanim, this is Aaron HaKohen, that everybody has their role and their job to play, we really have to keep to that, is that he told them, he gave them a test. He said, we could do a test. Everyone should try and bring Ketairos. Let's see if you survive. And of course they did not. And then the Yidden get very, very scared when they see so many people had died, that they come to Moshe and they say, like, is there no end to this death? Are we all going to die forever? And that's when Moshe tells them and tells the Levim, I want you to protect the Mishkan. Make sure that nobody comes too close to the Mishkan so there shouldn't be an anger against them. And the question in Parshas Korach is, but we already have this commandment back in Bamidbar, at the beginning of Bamidbar. Was the commandment said in Bamidbar and then repeated in Korach? Or was it only first said in Korach? And we have many ways to understand this, but one, the simplest way is to say, Ein muktam u'mochar b'Torah. Things are not necessarily written as they were commanded. And indeed, when they set up the Mishkan, they didn't get the special command, but only after people died in the time of Korach, they did get the command, but it's written back in Bamidbar as we're setting up the Mishkan, that everyone should know that the Levim are going to camp around the Mishkan to make sure that they are protecting it. That's the simple way to understand it. However, it could be said with a very frightening insight into human nature, is that they did get the commandment right away at the beginning when the Mishkan was set up, and it was repeated again after the people sinned in the time of Korach. And the mashal, the way we can explain it, is that this is human nature. When children come into school the first day of school, they're usually greeted with, these are the rules, these are the procedures, this is the way the classroom works. And if a girl is going to misbehave or a girl is going to do something wrong, then what's going to happen is A, B, or C. Right? There's a list of procedures, there's a list of rules, there's a list of consequences. This is the way we set up the school. Now, for the first day, week, hopefully a month, the girls are scared and they won't break the rule. Then somebody breaks the rule and a consequence has to be given. We would think that this would serve to deter other children from breaking that rule because they saw, didn't skip class and now she has a detention. I don't want to get a detention, so I'm not going to skip class. But what generally happens is that when the children see that somebody did something, they actually did it, they actually broke the rule, it dulls their sensitivity and there could be more of a prevalence of breaking that rule because somebody else did it, even though she got punished for doing it, but somebody else did it. So the way we understand it is that, yes, we get the commandment at the beginning of Bamidbar, and at the end of Parshas Bamidbar, we get the special warning to Kohath to be even more careful because they're the ones that are carrying the kelim of the Beis Hamikdash, are the ones that are carrying the Aron. And then when people did break the rule in Parshas Korach, they had to get their reminder. They had to be told, and don't even think about doing this again. And again, we would think they wouldn't even need the reminder at that time. Meaning, what do you mean we're scared to die? If you're scared to die, then don't break the rules. And then you won't die, right? If you're not going to try and bring keteres, you're not going to die. But we see that once that barrier has been crossed, there's more of a chance that it could be crossed again. And we see this also in another Indian in our parsha this week, which is the Saita and the Nazir and the Smichus. Why are Saita and Nazir connected? Saita is when a woman is suspected of being unfaithful, and there's a terribly dramatic procedure that she has to go through with an awful death if she actually was unfaithful. And it says that a person who sees a Saita in her kilkul, in her disgrace, he should separate himself from Yazir Asma Min Hayayin. He should separate himself from wine. A Nazir is a person who separates himself from the Ta'anugim of Olam Hazeh. And we would think that Dafka, a person who saw the sight of a Kilkulasa, should be so shaken, should be so traumatized that he would never dream of doing anything wrong. He doesn't need the extra level of protection. But what we're learning from here is, yes, he does, because his sensitivities are dulled, because he saw somebody who did break a rule. And when you see somebody who broke a rule, then it creates more of a reality that you may do so too. We see it, we're familiar with this from Amalek. It says that Amalek jumped into the bath and he made the bath water cold. Yes, he got burned, so we would think that it would deter other nations from fighting, but until he jumped into the bath, until he started up with the Jews, nobody starts up with the Jews. Nobody would try, nobody would dare. But once he did, even though he got burned, he created that pirtza, he created that opportunity that now maybe other people will do it too. And that's one lesson that we can learn from here, that there is a danger of our sensitivities being dulled when we observe somebody else doing something wrong. Another, let's say, perhaps more positive spin and timely as we approach Shavuos, is it's quite amazing, actually, that we need to be protected from ourselves and from our desire of coming too close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We see this with Har Sinai also. One of the things that Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu quite strongly, and not once, put a gate around Har Sinai. Make sure the Yidden don't come too close. They're going to try and climb up the mountain. Make sure that they're protected. Now, I would think that if HaKadosh Baruch Hu would say, anyone who touches the mountain is going to die, that you don't need a gate up there. You don't need a fence around it. If somebody knows that something is poisonous, they're not going to drink it. You don't need to put it into a, you don't need to lock it up, right? If it's not a child, an adult is not going to drink something that says poison on it. If a Kodesh Baruch Hu says don't come near the mountain, they're not going to come near the mountain. If Hashem says don't touch the Mishkan, or if you're not a Kohen, don't come too close, why would they? And the very beautiful response is that we do have this strong desire to get closer and closer and closer, and sometimes too close. So we do have to have the Hagbalah, we do have to have the gate around the mountain, we do have to have this commandment said not once but multiple times that only the Kohanim, only the Levim, only Mishpachas Kohas, tell Mishpachas Kohas to be careful. It's interesting, the description of Chazal is that they would actually fight to be the one to carry the Aron, and they might even be pushing each other because I want to be the one to carry the Aron. I want to do it. And because there was this atmosphere of fighting over who gets to do it, it wasn't the didn't have the proper respect, and therefore people from Kohas would die, and we would say, so stop fighting about it, but they want it. We, Klal Yisrael, we make celebrations for a bar mitzvah, for a bas mitzvah. We are so excited, and you would think that it's a little bit scary to become a bar mitzvah or a bas mitzvah because it just means that we have responsibility for so many obligations that we have to take on ourselves. And yet what we're taught is it's not, it is responsibility, it is obligations, but it's more opportunities that we have, and we are excited about it. We turn to HaKadosh Baruch Hu with the Na'aseh V'Nishma. We want this. We're happy to have it. We're happy to do this. We want to be here. Give us more. So as we become the Mamlechus Kohanim V'Goy Kadosh, with each one of us having that opportunity to come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's a gift that we have. It's a scary gift, but it's a gift that we have that says, I want this, I want this. It's something that the Goyim do not have. We see when Yaakov sold the Bechorah, bought the Bechorah from Esav, and Esav was selling the Bechorah, he says, Hinei anoche elech lamus, I'm going to die anyway, so why do I need the Bechorah? Another way we could understand this is what he was saying, Esav, is he's so unlike the Jews. Hinei anoche elech lamus, I'm scared to have the Bechorah because if I do, and I have to do the Avoda, I might die, and I don't want to die, so forget the whole thing, I don't want it. And what a praise for Klal Yisrael that even though it's sometimes scary, it's something that we want, and it's something that we desire, and it's something that we make a whole yontif to celebrate, that we get to be the ones to get the Torah, we get to the ones to be as close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu as we can. Yes, with the Hagbalas, yes, with the boundaries that are necessary, we have to do it right. But it's a praise and a compliment to Klal Yisrael that we have to be told, don't come too near, or this is the job of the Kohanim, or this is the job of only the family of Kohas could do this, or Gershon is the ones who are doing that. We have, because otherwise we all have the strongest desire to do as much as we can do.